At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of new items, like Honeycrisp apples for $2.99 a pound and boneless, skinless chicken breasts for just $3.99 a pound. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through November 4th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are live right here on Sports Grid, man. Let's get after it. Hour number two. It is the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside transitioning to the NFL. Some headlines not involving Calvin Ridley, and a very interesting one, Donnie, around Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Now, maybe very interesting is me exaggerating here, but I guess the ramifications could be very interesting. I'm sure Kyler Murray's ears perked up when he saw the story, Donnie, that the Green Bay Packers are paired to offer Aaron Rodgers a number that is being described as market-altering money in the quarterback position. What do you think of this situation here in Green Bay?
I think it's very, interesting to say the least here. And the reason why I say that, we're talking about a guy that's going to be 39 years old when the season ends next year. And we're talking about mind-altering, money-altering, life-changing money. And rightfully so. If you're at the top of your class at the quarterback position, you are going to set the market. You're going to set the boundaries here. So my question here comes out, which is very interesting, because do you remember a couple weeks back, Aaron Rodgers is going to go on the Pat McAfee show and he's going to announce something and he had nothing to announce? It's been kind of interesting to see it play out, Kevin, because I knew it was going to be wrapped into Davante Adams and the future of the Packers organization. And this wasn't something that they're going to come to an agreement overnight with 2 weeks to go in free agency and say, hey, we have everything set. But I'm expecting a decision pretty quickly here. Now, I have to ponder, what has been going on with Aaron Rodgers and the negotiations? Because usually when your agent gives a phone call to the Green Bay Packers early on in this process, the Packers go, blank check. What do you want? What's going to make him happy? So why this is taking a few weeks here, it can't be, Kevin, where he's trying to make sure his contract is right. And, if I'm going to get $52 million a year, I really wanted $53.5 million, and I wanted this guaranteed money switched around here. Because it sounds like the Green Bay Packers basically told him, whatever you want, let us know, and we will make it happen. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't made a decision yet. Does that leave your mind open a little bit more to him leaving Green Bay? Because if it wasn't about the money, wouldn't he already be signed with Green Bay going, man, they're offering more money than anybody in the history of the NFL, and I love it in Green Bay. Sign me up. He hasn't said this all along, Kevin, which makes it, again, interesting to me.
Yeah, I guess, though, the more you play the game, the more money you can probably pull out of Green Bay, Donnie. And we often say, listen, Green Bay, man, would give this guy a blank check and, hand over whatever it might be. Maybe that's the position that Rodgers is trying to put them in and see if that's true. What I'm more intrigued by at this point here, because to be honest with you, Rodgers going back to Green Bay, I don't find to be the sexy option. The only thing worse would be him going to Denver. I mean, that is boring as all get out, man. That team stinks. It's Donnie, the notion, though, that he is going to make this market-altering salary here. Aaron Rodgers, though, I mean, Don, we're talking about a guy's about 40 years old. Is he gonna get a 5-year contract? That doesn't feel very likely to me. If you had to guess, right, just to give people an idea, next year's salary cap top hit is going to be Matt Ryan at about a 48 number. In 3 years, Josh Allen will have about a $51 million cap hit. Though I kind of feel like that will never come to fruition. They'll probably reconfigure the money, but also the salary cap is meant to grow. So it's obviously, the percentage, I guess, of a salary cap you take up, maybe more than the actual dollars. But I mean, Donnie, is there a chance that this guy gets offered 2 years, $120 million, and every single dollar of it guaranteed?
I mean, there's a really good chance of that as we welcome the radio audience in here to the morning. Radio audience, as Kevin would say, in full effect, SiriusXM channel 159 right here on the grid. Here's how I'm going to answer this. You have to have a five-year deal, Kevin. There's no other way around it. You can't, as the Green Bay Packers organization, go 2 years, $104 million guaranteed. Because you're right, those cap hits would be $50 million a year. The reason why you would actually do that and make it 5 years is so you can spread that out and make it, I don't know, $20 million against the cap and continue to kick that can down the road. And also, we're talking about the Green Bay Packers organization. Do they have money? Absolutely. But they don't have Rams money. They don't have Kroenke, who's got billions of dollars in the bank. Let's remind ourselves, it's a Green Bay Packers team that has quote-unquote owners in the town because they spend $250 or $300 a share, which they never get a return on. That's how they raise capital for that team. So is there enough money to go around? Yes, there is. But they can't give him, Kevin, 2 years at $100 million. It won't work on their cap.
It's very interesting, though, because even if Green Bay comes forward with a crazy number, it's not as if other teams aren't going to be willing to pay Aaron Rodgers whatever it takes.
Of course.
You're this deep into the game. You're not going to try and, you know, pull back the checkbook there if you're the Denver Broncos or, you know, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. You're going to be ready to let this thing fire. Fascinating stuff. Quickly, Donnie, Von Miller teasing the Denver stuff. Are you interested by this at all?
I am interested because if Aaron Rodgers does go to the Denver Broncos, that probably means Von Miller is going to tag along with him, because what sense does it make for the Denver Broncos to stay with Teddy Bridgewater and go nowhere and then sign a big-name free agent for your defensive line? It doesn't make sense. You're either all in or you're all out here. Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver. Now I'm intrigued with Von Miller returning.
Not a Aroldis Chapman special. Yankees sent him all the way out there to Chicago.
Genius.
Won the World Series. Flips it around. Worked out quite nicely, I think, for all involved there. So we'll see if that's how it plays out for Von Miller. Let's start previewing a Tuesday board right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday, taking a look at the college basketball board, which has plenty to offer. One of the biggest games, though, maybe the biggest, comes in the WCC. Gonzaga and St. Mary's, the battle for the West Coast Tournament Championship there. The line's not yet posted up on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but getting a look, DRS, at what these numbers look like they're going to be positioned around, you're going to see Gonzaga, as anticipated, laying double digits, about 13. You're going to see a total in the low 140s there. It's what you'd expect of a Gonzaga-St. Mary's game on a neutral site. As everybody knows, the only team that was able to touch Gonzaga really inside the WCC was St. Mary's. That victory in the final game of the regular season there, Gonzaga's only loss in conference. What do we think about this game here tonight?
Yeah, it should be another good one here. Another, you know, typical tilt. Now, the interesting part about this, Kevin, sometimes in previous years, you might be looking at this game going, hey, Gonzaga's already in and Gonzaga's going to be on the one line. We get that. No matter what happens, like, Gonzaga is going to be on the one line. But take a look at St. Mary's. They're already in the tournament. Like, they're in. So you might look at a little bit more free basketball, as I like to say. Where's the pressure in this one? Sure, each one of these teams, Kevin, wants to win the WCC, you know, conference championship and raise a banner. I get that. But the pressure here of maybe one of these teams not going in, which again, Gonzaga has been going in time and time again, but St. Mary's saying, you know what? Let's go a little bit free and loose here. Now, the matchups really make sense because when we take a look at point distribution, which is what I love to look at, Gonzaga's offense, unbelievably efficient. Inside the arc, Kevin, third in conference play, point distribution, 55% of their total points coming inside the three-point arc. And if we line up St. Mary's defense, they're number one in conference play at point distribution at giving up points inside the arc. And then if we flip it over to St. Mary's offense here, they're fourth in conference play out of 10 teams at scoring inside the arc. Matches up once again with Gonzaga, who's fourth in conference play at letting you score inside the arc. Now, typically, in a championship game environment, and you're going to see a lot of these breakdowns today with me slamming the unders, I'm going to go the opposite direction in this. And again, it comes from a field where both of these teams know they're going in. Let's go out and play some basketball tonight and see who's going to come away with the WCC Conference Tournament Championship. I think we might get a little bit more open play here out of both sides, particularly St. Mary's, maybe upping their tempo a little bit. Give me the over in this game.
It's going to be interesting to watch this play out with the way Gonzaga attacked yesterday versus the Dons. They came out and dominated that game early, a channel-changing performance. They were up 47-27. Let me see what else is on the dial. And then San Francisco made a legitimate push here in the second half of this game. And they had this at within single digits, which is not what you would anticipate with the way Gonzaga was up and running around there. They started to apply that pressure, You're going to look for a Gonzaga team that's going to have to remain focused for a full 40 here. It's going to be very interesting to watch. The one thing I think as well with this Gonzaga-St. Mary's matchup, even if you take the first time these teams played, Gonzaga was leading St. Mary's by 13 at the break. Ultimately, though, only won that game by 16. You probably could have grabbed yourself some St. Mary's live and covered some live numbers there. Obviously, a lot of people were able to do that with the Dons. At some point, Gonzaga, if they're up by 20, they're not going to win by 40, not against competition of this caliber there. You could potentially find some great live numbers as well. Continuing to look at this board here, DRS, another really fun game coming to us with South Dakota State and North Dakota State here. This was a conference in the Summit League that yesterday when we were live on Moneyline, myself and Donnie catch us on Sports Grid Radio, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time there, Sirius XM, channel 159. We capped both of those games. South Dakota State, their team total went over the number, landing at 83 in their 83-60 win versus a South Dakota basketball team. And then North Dakota State did prove that they really owned Oral Roberts with a 92-72 victory there. A high total above a buck 50 here. South Dakota State, though, laying 5 points. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, this is a one that we just talked about in the previous game, Kevin, where he's saying, okay, St. Mary's and Gonzaga both getting into the tournament. That's not going to be the case here for South Dakota State and North Dakota State. You're also taking a look at some unbelievable offense here, talking about South Dakota State. Let's take a look at their efficiency rating, number one in conference play. Effective field goal position, number one in conference play. Let's take a look at also number one. It's all the way down the list, Kevin. Number one in three-point percentage, number one in two-point percentage, number one in free throw percentage. So when you look at that and say, well, how can you combat that? Well, how about this? If you're taking a look at North Dakota State's defense, number two overall in efficiency in conference play, number one in effective field goal percentage in conference play, number one at defending the three-point line, and number one at defending inside the arc in this game. Now, typically you'd say to yourself, we're going to get an over in this game, and rightfully so, but both of these offenses, Kevin, in conference play, number one and number two, the reason I'm going to look to take an under with two teams that technically can fill it up was basically the opposite of what I just told you in St. Mary's and Gonzaga. Both of those teams free and loose, knowing that no matter what happens in this game, we're going to celebrate one side, we're going to be upset the other side, but you know what? We're both going to be playing for a national championship in March Madness. That's not the case in this one. So if we're looking where every single possession matters and the entire season comes down to the game tonight, I'm going to be looking towards an under in this game.
I think the interesting thing, obviously, you take the two games that these teams matched up throughout this season. Both did go over, one very slightly. Both were four-point victories for South Dakota State. You land here on a neutral court, a five-point number. It's an interesting game in that perspective. I think if you were looking to play an over, I would try and identify that North Dakota State team total maybe a little bit more, Donnie, just because both of these teams have the ability to get into the 80s. And North Dakota State here, trust me, this isn't one of those conference championship games where you're not, South Dakota State, obviously, right? Like the way Colgate probably booked in the Patriot League, things like that. So anticipate a really, really fun game there. Another game to bring up, Donnie. Again, we're looking here at these tournament games, the ones that are going to push people into the NCAA tournament there, is the one between Jacksonville and Bellarmine. Now, this is a spot where it's a very, very tight line, but more notably, a very, very low total. Jacksonville right now is laying 3 points here, I believe, catching 3 points. And the total, though, checks in at 122 and a half DRS. It's a low number, man. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, it should be a low number. Both of these teams, not the fastest tempo teams, but also styles make fights, as I always like to say here, Kevin. You're trying to match these teams up right. So if we take a look, and we have 12 teams in this conference, let's just take a look at Jacksonville's offense versus Bellarmine's defense here. If we're looking from a three-point advantage here, 12th in conference play, Jacksonville at volume at shooting the three-point shot. Doesn't really match up. Why? Because Bellarmine's defense actually gives up more three-point shots than anybody. So one team that doesn't really want to shoot the three, the other team wants to let you shoot the three, then you flip it inside the arc here, right? Jacksonville wants to get to the rim. Second in conference play, a point distribution from inside the arc. Let's take a look over here at Bellarmine's defense. They're 12th in conference play. Stingy defense at letting you score inside the arc. So let's flip it over to Bellarmine's offense here. Three-point shots. 42.6 of their shots come from three-point range, which is key here because you're looking at Jacksonville's defense, Kevin, as being one of those teams that lets you shoot the three-point shot. But how about this? They let you shoot just about more three-point shots than anybody in conference play, but you know what? They defended at number one. So it's almost like you don't really have that advantage. Like, you know, start talking about like the matchup zone for Syracuse where it's like, hey, we'll let you shoot the three. But we got a 6'9 guy with his hand in your face every time you want to shoot that three-point shot. And again, nobody is going to the tournament, Kevin, unless they win this game. It just leads to a slower scoring environment. But then again, if you can get a close game down the stretch with 2 minutes to go, can you get that point explosion where 10 points a minute over the final 2 minutes of that game? It could happen. But even though this number is going to be low for the total, I still lean towards the under. Every possession matters, which sometimes leads to some sloppy basketball.
I don't know why, but it's always games like this that catch my attention. I think it's because of the theory that you're always involved on an over bet, Donnie. Mm-hmm. It feels like until the last, 5 minutes of a game. These teams played this year and they went to overtime. Now, it did get over slightly before overtime, but this feels like the kind of game, Donnie, that I grab a piece of the total of, and no more than 6 minutes into the game, I'm like, I hope they get to overtime again, man. It's going to be a slow affair, likely, in that matchup. All right, more CBB breakdown is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Now, we got to talk about the ACC. But, first of all, I apologize for having anyone even listen to a Bellarmine-Jacksonville breakdown. Because, turns out, this game doesn't matter. We were informed over the break, our great research team let us know, that this game actually does not matter because Bellarmine is ineligible to make the NCAA tournament through winning the A-Sun. Why that might be, though, is, well, that's because they haven't been in the conference long enough. Because you have to be in a conference for 2 years, before you can win it. That is maybe the worst rule I ever heard. In what world does a conference feel good about that? Where, Donnie, they've basically now said Jacksonville's grandfathered in to making the tournament. I hope Jacksonville loses this game by 100. I hope they lose their tournament game by 100. This is a disgrace. I hate this. College sports' ability to be just the absolute worst is sometimes unrivaled.
Now, also, I like to say this. Like, I knew this rule. Like, but Kevin brought the game up, so I didn't want to bash my host on the air. So please. I went along with it. So Michael Fanzler, after that, tweeted to us, I actually knew this, but I was trying to keep it under wraps as nobody would recognize this. Therefore, I didn't embarrass Kevin as my co-host. I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah. No. Let me tell you something, pal. That doesn't shine you in a better light. that you had very important, valuable information to the basketball game, and you kept it to yourself.
I couldn't.
So we appreciate.
I'm a team player,
Donnie.
Yeah, I
know, man. Yeah, team Donnie is the team that you play on here. Can we talk some ACC basketball here, DRX? I mean, I know you're jazzed up about these games.
They should have banned
BC. Whoa, Clemson, MC State. Hey, now Louisville, Georgia Tech. I mean, I mean, you've got to. I think Duke might have won more conference games than all these teams combined here, man. Let's get tangy. 2 o'clock basketball, though. Pitt, BC. BC's laying 2. The total is under 130. Dude, this just does not look like a fun basketball game,
amazing.
I have a feeling I'll be involved.
But how about you look at this game? Like, forget about the two teams matching up. Like, they're going to play this afternoon, Kevin, in Brooklyn. Forget about the over-under in the game. What's the over-under in fans actually in the stands for this game at this point?
I might go.
Like, if you are a BC alum, you're like, boy, I got to get down to play Pittsburgh. If you're like a Pittsburgh alum, I got to drive across the state of PA and actually make it into the city to watch this game at 2 o'clock mid-afternoon. I don't know about that. And quite frankly, you're talking about 15 teams in the ACC, Kevin. I'm going to give you the KenPom numbers here for both of these teams.
Let's go
efficiency on offense, BC 13th. Let's go efficiency Pitt defense, 13th. Let's go Pitt efficiency offense, 14th, and that stellar BC defense at 10th overall. So usually, Kevin, I would look at this and say, hey, two teams in the court just looking to have some fun and get out there, but I'm leaning towards under. These defenses are so bad, Kevin, but the offenses are even worse. I'm talking about Brick City. I want to see this game like, what, 10-9 with 8 minutes to go in the first half. That's what I feel like I'm getting out of these two teams. And I preface this by saying that when we start talking about, like me, excited. Power 5 conferences, conference tournament week, going to be so much fun. And when I saw this spread, the sheet this morning where we're going to line these games up, I'm like, ooh, let me do a quick breakdown. And every one I go over, I'm like, oh my goodness here. Like, who's actually watching it? But we will be watching it. We certainly will on Moneyline. And also, taking a look here, I'm going under. I love overs. I'm going under in this game. These two teams are putrid, Kevin, on offense.
Here's the one thing I'll tell you, folks. I was thinking about the over. 5 of the last 6 over for Pitt. The one time they played this year, it landed 125, which was the listed total game. But there's something about getting after an under with someone that you can watch together, where if those teams are making it, usually it's bad players making bad shots. And then when it's an under, it's a good time. That might be the money line special today. 1-3 p.m. Eastern, midway through DRS and I rolling with a Pitt BC under. I got to say, though, Mike Blewett's not going to be happy about that breakdown. Then again, Mike Blewett, that's your own fault there for rocking with BC. So it is what it is. Clemson, NC State. Yeah, a little better here, Doc. A little better, right? Clemson's laying 5. I mean, at least the total's respectable. 144. Clemson's laying a 5 spot here in some ACC action now. Yeah, this game's got to have – it has more juice just automatically based on the listed number here. What do you think of this one? My good, NC State, Don. Can I just add this quickly? NC State is 7-24 against the spread this season, man.
Yes.
7-24. All right, tell me what you like.
Yeah, and they're a terrible basketball team. You know, look at them heading down the stretch in this game. Not to say we talk about teams, Kevin, with momentum heading into conference tournaments. This is the opposite of that. But if you take a look at NC State's defense, as we said again, now this game, I'm actually looking more towards the over. So if we want to say there's juice in this game between two bad basketball teams, at least we might get some offense. And if you're Clemson, even though you're 10th out of 15 teams in the ACC at efficiency, you take a look at NC State's defense, it's dead last, and it's by a wide margin across the board. Worst in efficiency, worst in effective field goal percentage, worst defensive rebounding team, worst at defending the three, and worst at defending the two. You got to score just by proxy here if you're Clemson against this team. And you also look at it, you know, it's not a super up-tempo type of game, but any team that plays defense as poorly as NC State does, and in a game that probably won't matter all that much overall for NC State, and quite frankly, Clemson, unless they go on a wicked run here in the ACC, this game does have a little bit of juice for points. I'll go with the over, a very rare over for me in conference tournament action.
Yeah, this is a legendary NC State team, man. Donnie, they have the second worst ATS cover percentage in all of college basketball, man.
Yeah.
In all of college. Shout out to Pacific, though, Donnie, who
Tigers.
With a 422 and 2 record against the spread this season. Pacific, we'll miss you dearly there, man. That is just some awful, awful basketball there for NC State. The beauty of it is, though, as the ACC continues to play, no wonder why we haven't been talking about this conference, right? So NC State, second worst ATS percentage in all of college basketball. Yeah, well, don't worry. Louisville, fifth worst in all of college basketball here, laying a point and a half to Georgia Tech. To be fair, Donnie, I'm the one who drafted up, obviously, a lot of these games to put in. I said, oh, this would be fun, man, to break down the ACC tournament. And what is this now? I mean, these games are terrible. I can't wait to watch them here. Louisville, Ja Tech, Donnie. How come nobody ever says Ja Tech? Georgia Tech here. What do you like in the game, man?
Like, we'd actually had some juice if Ja Rule came out of the tunnel or Ja Morant came out of the tunnel here for Ja Tech over here. Because, quite frankly, nothing is filling up the hoop here with Georgia Tech as the 15th most efficient offense in ACC play. Hey, that sounds good. No, it doesn't. There's only 15 teams in the ACC overall. I'm telling you, man. You want to talk, sometimes we talk about the ACC, they do the right thing in the community. We're donating tickets to kids that come out and people that just want to come watch free basketball today. Who is showing up to any one of these three games? And you're right. This is the ACC. How many times in the past, line this up. One of these teams can go on a run. One thing they're going to go on a run is back to their campus for the season to actually be over at this point. I don't even know where to break these games down because everything you try to line up, Kevin, is poor. And then you look at the line going, hey, maybe one team's getting 6 or 7 points. Not even the case there. This is bad basketball all the way around. So if I'm looking from a side perspective, do I go with the 15th most efficient offense in Georgia Tech or do I match them up with Louisville's 14th most efficient defense in conference play? As brutal as it gets, I would just have to, I don't know, let's Georgia Tech for me today, Kevin. How about that as a breakdown?
Watch this, and I'll take Louisville, man. The early line never loses. Give me the Cardinals. We've covered the board here. Here's the one thing I would say on Louisville in terms of their awful ATS record is obviously that comes with having higher expectations entering the season. As a favorite this year, they're 5-10-1 against the number, but they actually have won 10 of those 16 games. Now, very, very narrow spread here, so I understand that. But I do think there's a chance that, I would side with Louisville in terms of the -122 money line that's being offered here. Let me ask you this, Don. We'll get to the NBA then in our next segment. Mm-hmm. Do some of these conferences actually need to look into, because you know how you're always talking about the nonsensical teams that find their way into the tournament through these wild, eliminations in conference tournament play. Do they need to be more selective into who actually makes the conference tournament here? And maybe, Louisville's 6-14 conference record maybe leaves them out of the tournament here. I mean, Don, is there a world where you could argue that none of these teams should have been in the ACC tournament?
You could argue that, but you're going to bring the entire conference as a whole here, right? And the reason being is because it's about money. It's not about really ticket sales because there are no ticket sales for Georgia Tech and Louisville in, New York City at this point. So when you're trying to factor in this, it's more about that television package. Like, we're going to give the ACC network, 15 games as opposed to 8 games or something like that. That's the only reason why. And you can almost say hey, we're going to bring them in here as an end of season celebration. If this is an ACC celebration today with these three games, my goodness here. And as we like to say, Kevin, it's very hard. Like Brooklyn, the heart of the city, maybe tough to perform for some of these teams here.
Let me close out college basketball on this. Sports Grid's adopted team appears to be UNC Wilmington. I saw yesterday Drew on the morning after jumped in the mix there and said UNC Wilmington would cover. I heard Ben between each and every break was screaming why into the abyss as to how the UNC Wilmington could be catching two. Maybe Donnie, the odds makers is doing everybody a favor. Yeah. UNC Wilmington's catching two today to Delaware there. Does the luck run out though, Donnie? Have we considered that?
The Blue Hens. Seahawks. Watch out for those Blue Hens making a run. I don't know.
Ooh. Blue Hens. Oh, they beat Townsend, Delaware yesterday?
Ooh, Townsend. Wow. Tangy Townsend Tigers.
Townsend.
Triple T, wow. Baby. Triple T.
Couple Hens inside that name there, man. Tough scene. Blue Hens, Seahawks. A lot of blue. We're right back. Talk to NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's going on here?
All right, we're making it happen here on this Tuesday, man. Wow. Charlotte, Brooklyn, Donnie. Wow. What do you think, Donnie, about the Nets, man? Take this thing away here, man. I need a minute here. Total 241. Yeah.
Do you want to ski up over this game here? We can certainly do that here. But the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets, the same old adage comes up. When, Kevin, are we getting the Brooklyn Nets A-plus performance with superstars in the lineup? Could tonight be that? And also, we talked about it yesterday. Let me get the updated numbers here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for this line. -4 across the board. I was wrong. But you know what, Kevin? They actually opened up this line at the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday at a -1.5, which is what I thought the line would be. Now we're seeing here, bet up to close to 4 points in this game. Do you agree with that line movement? I guess you have to agree with it if it's going in that direction. But I thought an appropriate number was the -1.5. I didn't think it would get up to close to 4.
Looking at a game that I think a lot of people are starting to say to themselves, Brooklyn can't lose this. And that leads to a lot of Brooklyn bets. And I understand it. Because to be honest with you, Brooklyn can't lose this game. If Brooklyn loses this game, they are solidly outside of the top 8 then in the Eastern Conference. And what I mean by that, like, there's no tiebreakers involved. They have then definitively been bounced outside of the top 8 in the conference. Again, at some point, people will accept that the Nets are just the Lakers of the Western Conference, except one of those teams has been dropped down to about the 7th best odds, and the other one somehow is still the favorite here. The tough part of it is, though, Don, the Charlotte Hornets have been a great home dog, 10-6-1. Against the spread, and you're now dealing with 4.5 points that could come into play. Worst team in all of basketball against the spread is the Brooklyn Nets. It's just never really a wise decision to be laying numbers with that basketball team here. The number that continues to intrigue me, and the only number that I bet that seems like I'm not slandering the Nets, is Kevin Durant's points prop. What does KD have to do, Donnie, for them to hang a 30.5? I mean, it was 24.5. They thought there was a minutes restriction. It came out there wasn't a minutes restriction. They said, oh, our bad. I went to 25.5. He puts up 31 versus Miami. They then go to Boston, and they're like, yeah, that was a fluke, though, right? I mean, it's only Kevin Durant with decade-plus sample size of being one of the best scorers the NBA has ever seen. They hang a 26.5. He goes out there for 37. So tonight they go 29.5. But Donnie, every single game he's out there scoring 30-plus. And they're playing in a game with a total of 241.5. I have to still bet Kevin Durant over 29.5 DRS.
Oh, he's going over that. He's certainly going over that. And you're right. 31 points first game back, 37 second game back. But also, let's take a look at the minutes here, right? 35 minutes right off of missing basically 2 months of basketball. Then he has, 2 days off here, gets back on the court, and he plays 39 minutes. Both of those games, Kevin, shot field goal attempts, attempted 21 apiece in those games. And how about the three-point shooting here? Kevin Durant, the slim reaper, right? We're known for that elbow jumper, that 17-footer. How about taking 9 threes in the last game and 7 previously before that? So 16 combined three-point shot attempts over the previous two games. And you're right, a 241 total here. Let's also keep in mind, this isn't the Brooklyn Nets right now that are riding high as the number 1 overall seed, number 2, number 3 seed, and they're just looking to get Kevin Durant his time out here. They actually need to win basketball games. So the simple fact of the matter is, if this game is close, Kevin Durant is going to approach 40 minutes of playing time tonight. No doubt in my mind. Just like I said, Joel Embiid would have a big night last night against the Chicago Bulls. Kevin Durant's going off tonight against this team.
KD always seems to do just that. Taking it further down the board right now, Golden State and Los Angeles. We do not have player props listed for this one. It's a very odd spot. Golden State's on the second leg of a back-to-back, except none of their key guys played in the first game. No Steph, no Clay, no Wiggins. It does seem like Andrew Wiggins is going to be out for this game as well. Golden State's still a 6.5-point favorite with a total at 220.5, and it looks like it could be on its way up. I don't want to say it's a must-win for Golden State, Donnie, but I don't know if a not healthy, still role players, maybe a little tired Golden State team should be laying 6.5 points here. The number feels a little too strong on the Warriors.
No, it does feel a little bit too strong because don't they have to show you, Kevin, before you start laying the wood? This isn't like a pickup game, a pick'em game, or they're getting +2 points here at home. And you're right, it's still a back-to-back, which means the team was still traveling. I doubt that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson stayed at home in California while they were playing, you know, a back-to-back game. That's certainly not going to be the question here. So travel will still be involved, and it's coming from a standpoint where, okay, estimated starting lineup tonight here. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson back in the lineup. Andrew Wiggins looks like he is in the estimated starting lineup tonight. Otto Porter Jr. and Kevon Looney. I don't know. Like, do I think the actual Clippers have a better starting five tonight, or at least a starting five that's comparable here? Unless Klay Thompson and the Splash Brothers, along with Steph Curry, go absolutely wild from three-point range, I think the Clippers will be in this all the way through. I'm waiting here for the Golden State Warriors here to start playing the basketball I know they can play, and maybe they do it tonight, but I'm not going to trust it, and I'll lean on taking the points here with the Clippers.
I'm tempted by this total at 221. We talk, Donnie, about regression to the mean sometimes, and the Golden State Warriors right now are the fifth highest under percentage in the NBA, yet they've played 9 of their last 10 games to the over, because basically every time Golden State was stepping out there at the beginning of the season, the games were going under, and at some point the numbers have to adjust, and they've adjusted, and their offense, honestly, has been putting up a lot of points. Without Draymond, they've been giving up a ton of points. So a 221 number there does look a little bit enticing. How about Grizzlies and Pelicans here? Is this New Orleans team for real, man? I mean, they almost pulled out their fifth straight victory post All-Star break versus Denver at Denver, landed in overtime, and fell to the hands of an MVP candidate, obviously, in Nikola Jokic. Memphis coming off of a tough loss to the Houston Rockets. I understand it was on the road, the second leg of a back-to-back, but they were a considerable favorite there. Decent favorite tonight, DRS laying 5.5, total at 231 and a hook. Is this a good spot to back New Orleans?
It could be a good spot to back New Orleans. I do think there's points in here, but you know what? Almost from a player perspective here, almost a good time to back Ja Morant now. You saw that, you know, fever of maybe an MVP if he goes off, cooled down a little bit the previous two games, 25 points, then followed up by a 22-point effort after having games, Kevin, of 46, 52, and 38. It's one of those get-right games for me for Ja Morant to send this Memphis team back into, hey, maybe we thought they could challenge for the number 2 seed or even go up to the number 1 seed, depending on if Phoenix was going to play out the rest of the season and how injured they would actually be. But I do trust the Memphis Grizzlies. I think even though a young team here, it's a good bounce back spot, but I also like the total in this game. I think between the Grizzlies and the Pelicans, you're going to get some really good tempo. And as I said, John Morant, I'm expecting to have a monster night. High 20s, low 30s type game. Really put that team back into the forefront tonight. That's where I'm going with this one.
What's very interesting to me is the Pelicans portion of the total as well, which you thought would have pumped the entire thing up as well, Donnie.
Yeah.
New Orleans team total is going to be around 112.5 tonight, just kind of doing the math, right? It's going to be roughly where this number should land. Since the All-Star break, 5 games played. Phoenix 117, the Lakers 123, the Kings 125, Utah 124, Denver in regulation. I give you the in regulation number, 124. But Donnie, they're just walking up to the window, putting up 120 every single night. It's not been hard to figure out how this team has been playing better basketball. It's been with their offense. I mean, look, the defense has been strong too, don't get me wrong. But offensively, they have just been playing at another level. And a lot of that, I know that the CJ McCollum trade has a lot of people very, very impressed, and rightfully so. But Brandon Ingram has a points prop of 22.5. Brandon Ingram post-break, 28, 19, 33, 29, and 38. Brandon Ingram, Donnie, has been fantastic for this team here. His assist prop is 5.5. He has cashed over that number in every game post-break. So maybe a points plus assist number on Brandon could make some sense here. Another game DRS I wanted to roll to, Milwaukee. 14 on the road at Oklahoma City. I know you frequent Giannis props, but the blowout meter obviously could be sounded in this one. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, how about Chris Middleton going off for 44 in his last game? So maybe Middy is back on our radar tonight. But I have to say, if I'm looking at this game, do I lay 15 points basically with a road team in the NBA? No, I don't. But we know the Oklahoma City Thunder aren't necessarily trying to win basketball games. But I have to say this. Since Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has returned back, I don't know if he's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Michael Jordan at this point. Look at his points props here that he scored over the past couple games. 32, 36, 37, 29, 33, and 33. And look at his shot attempts. 23, 21, 23, 24. I mean, what is going on here? So this is one where I look at where he's going to get his tonight. There's going to be a nice tempo in this game. And if you don't want to say, hey, I want to take the 15 points per so with Oklahoma City because I think they can get launched by 30 in this game, I understand it. So if you're not looking to willing to take the points here in this game with Oklahoma City, just take the points with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's going to be probably have that points prop, Kevin, at what? 25, 26, 27, and he's probably going to get that 30 number tonight.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, but I'm also going to take a strong look at Giannis. Giannis, when he has a down game, Donnie, he seemingly keeps him up at night. So very early in the season, right? He scores 15 against Miami, comes back. It's only 21. It's not great. 15 versus the Knicks, comes back. 26 and a loss versus Atlanta. That was obviously distressing. 15 versus Miami, the next game against a bad team in Houston, 41 points. Then, not all that long ago, we only scored 18 in a loss versus Phoenix. Yeah, so he shows up and goes out there and put 50 on Indiana. Giannis against a terrible team will have his way. He will be into the 30s. I have absolutely no doubt about that one there. And then we have, I think, just one more game that we didn't hit, or two more. Indiana's going to catch four from Cleveland. Little more interested, Donnie, Phoenix or Orlando. This is a tricky spot. The Suns are laying six versus a bad Magic team, but they just played obviously an important primetime game against Milwaukee. This could be a little bit of a letdown spot for the Suns, despite the fact they're playing a bad team. What do you think about Orlando and Phoenix doing battle?
You're right. It's interesting, too, what that total is going to be around that 223, 224 range. You got Campaign, Landry Shamet, Bridges, Crowder, and Ayton here as the starting lineup for the Phoenix Suns. The one interesting part about this, too, is, you know, Kevin, sometimes we talk about heading towards the playoffs and getting some guys meaningful minutes, but also having them play the A1 role as opposed to like a backup role. You take a look at DeAndre Ayton, and I do expect another big performance out of him. How about shooting 19 times from the floor, even going 1 of 1 from three-point range, a 30-8. You know, Knight, I think he's going to have another decent one. You look at the younger guys here, and it seems like in the beginning of the season, we were doing in-play sports, and every single night, I was lining up a Cole Anthony prop, whether it be a Franz Wagner prop, even Wendell Carter Jr. This looks like a live spot here for the Orlando Magic. Not a great basketball team, and even, how about this, Kevin? In the past couple weeks, we're saying, like, hold on now. Orlando Magic actually favored against a basketball team. They're not favored tonight, but they're catching, you know, that 6 to 7 point range without a full tilt Phoenix team. Do I think Phoenix probably wins the game? Yes, I do. But without your two top dogs in the lineup, I'm not laying 7 points on the road with you. No shot here. Only way I could lean tonight would be towards the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, they covered versus Portland, and then they didn't cover the next two. You know what? We didn't get to do a lot of NBA recap. We mentioned stuff in the top headlines here, Donnie. The Portland Trailblazers lost last night by 43 to Minnesota. Post-All-Star break, they've lost by 38, 30, 32, I believe it is, 14, and then they 43. What is this, Donnie? Their next game's at Utah. They're going to catch – Donnie, will this team catch 20 points at some point?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, I think that's going to happen.
I think it might be next game. If they leave Simons out, they're going to catch 20 from Utah. And guess what? They're not going to cover the 20 either. Madness Watford, what's baby. Going on right now in Portland. Yeah, shout out Brandon Highsmith, whatever his name is. All right, Don is
cool. He did.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Tuesday right here on Sports Grid, Sirius XM channel 159. I'm Donnie Wrights, along with Kevin Walsh, and we carried you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Major League Baseball is always on my mind. Negotiations coming today. What's going to take place? I don't know, but you need to listen up. All right, the ACC tournament getting underway in Brooklyn today. All eyes focused on the conference tournament as we head into March Madness. But me, my eyes still focused on you, Major League Baseball, as today, Major League deadline number two on deck today. Could it be? Now, how about this? We just saw last week, right? Can't come to an agreement. The Monday deadline passes. We're canceling the first week of games here. And then I just see today that there's another deadline set in place for today, which is Tuesday, that would in effect cancel games that were already canceled if it doesn't happen today. What are we talking about? If deadlines are supposed to get deals done here, how are you going to tell me 1 week ago we had a deadline that we did not meet, so we had to cancel Major League Baseball games? And as I read here today, that if we come to an agreement today, we can still have 162 games in Major League Baseball. So who would be me to say, you know what, let's pass this deadline and next week negotiate again? Because apparently you can still have a 162-game schedule in Major League Baseball. What are deadlines for? How are we going to get a deal done if we're not holding ourselves, you know, firm on some of these agreements? And I don't want to miss any games. I love April baseball. I love opening day. I need Major League Baseball spring training in my life. So if you can come to an agreement today, Major League Baseball owners, Major League Baseball Players Union, I would really like that because I need to see my Philadelphia Phillies in the month of April here. And some of these good changes we talked about yesterday really need to happen. Pitch clocks, oh my goodness. Well, pitch clocks, yep, clocks, and I'm running out of time right here. But you guys stay tuned here. Ben Stevens in the Morning After with Kevin Walsh next.
This is Steve Covino from Covino and Rich. Quick trivia, fellas. Every guy listening is a contestant. Answer honestly to yourself. You got a belly and a little chest, gassed by the afternoon, no drive left in the tank. You lack that confidence and mental edge. Those are classic signs that your testosterone's been sliding, and nothing drags it down faster than extra weight. So why not take matters into your own hands? Strip off the weight that tanks your testosterone with Bioma GLP-1 Booster. Every serving is packed with science-backed ingredients that crank up your natural GLP-1 production. Visit Bioma.health/GLP-1 and use code CRSHOW for 15% off your first order.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.